The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jeremiah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. But you dress yourself for work, and rise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13. "I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on this Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown the man down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Luke chapter 4, 31 to 44, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is "The Authority of Jesus' Word." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the old San Mateo County Courthouse, often simply called the Old Courthouse, is the most prominent building in downtown Redwood City. It is our county's third courthouse, being completed just before the 1906 earthquake. That earthquake did lots of damage to the just finished building, so the courthouse had to be rebuilt from 1906 to 1908, concluding with a dedication on July 4th, 1910. The courthouse is in an imposing Roman Renaissance style with a fine rotunda and a beautiful stained glass dome. It is no longer used as a courthouse, but has been restored to its original design and houses the History Museum of the San Mateo County Historical Association. If you've never been there, it is worth a visit and a tour, which they give someday. It was more than civic pride that caused our city fathers to build such a large and impressive building for their courts. It was the common sense belief that the judges and juries in those courts had real authority over the lives and welfare of the people. How was that authority exerted? Simply through the statement of words. In criminal cases, those words were guilty or not guilty. In civil cases, those words explained in detail how disputes and lawsuits were to be settled. When juries delivered their verdicts and judges spoke from the chair, they spoke with an authority that brought justice and truth to situations of injustice and falsehood. And they often changed people's lives forever, for better and for worse. In our gospel lesson this morning, the people of Jesus' day noted the same thing about him. When they heard Jesus preach, teach, heal the sick and the disabled, and command demons to depart, the people heard the same voice of authority that they heard from their judges and procurators. And this didn't mean that Jesus spoke in a booming voice, or a loud voice, or in a harsh manner. It did mean that every sentence, yes, even every word of Jesus, had significance, just as it does in a courtroom on a day of judgment. People noticed that when Jesus spoke, he changed people's lives forever. The primary way in which people heard Jesus' words was when he was teaching them on the Sabbath, verse 31. As we heard last week, in those days, the synagogue allowed Jewish men who had passed the bar mitzvah to not only read, but also to comment on the lessons read that day. Jesus took that opportunity in each synagogue to interpret the Old Testament and teach his own doctrine. As we also heard in last week's gospel lesson, the people of Nazareth could not tolerate Jesus' teaching in their synagogue, but they drove him out and they attempted to kill him. Having been driven out of his hometown, Jesus went to the town of Capernaum, a town that is in the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. There are four towns in proximity there: Capernaum, Gennesaret, Chorazin, and across the Jordan River on the east side, Bethsaida. These were the towns where Jesus spent most of his three-year ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing. Other towns in Galilee that he visited or served during this time included Gergesa, Magdala, Tiberias, Cana, and Nain. As far as we know, only Nazareth physically drove him out of town, while many of the people in the other towns simply did not believe in him. Luke chapter 10, 13 to 15. As Jesus taught in these Galilean synagogues, they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. That's verse 32 of our text. The word for authority here in the Greek, exousiazein, is the same as is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4, in the Greek Septuagint version, which states, "In the word of the king there is power and authority." It's the same word, the same idea. In the parallel passage to our gospel in Mark 1:22, the Syriac translation says, "Jesus was teaching as a ruler, as one who is in charge with this power." In the Syriac translation of our text, verse 32, there it reads, "His discourse was endowed with power." This idea of authority was correctly understood by the Roman centurion, whose slave was healed by Jesus in Matthew 8:9. When he compared Jesus' work of that day, on that very day, to that of the Roman magistrates, who would give a command and it would be done. Jesus' teaching and preaching was equipped with outstanding authority and majesty for four reasons. First, because he was speaking not as an interpreter of other men's words or on behalf of some other king or lord, but because he spoke as their Lord, with his own authority and under his own name. Jesus told Nicodemus, "I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." That's John chapter 3, verse 11 and 13. Second, Jesus speaking at special authority and majesty because his word had an operative force and efficacy, as the Holy Spirit, through his word, moved the hearts of listeners to repentance and to faith. And that word still has that effect today. Third, Jesus speaking had outstanding majesty and authority because he taught with unique grace, great zeal, and with freedom from the constraints of the rabbinic tradition. Fourth, he had special authority and majesty in his teaching because he kept confirming that teaching with miracles, as we see in our gospel. The miracles that are mentioned in our gospel include the casting out of a demon in a man who was in the synagogue, verses 33 to 36. The healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law in verses 38 and 39, and then the healing of any who were sick with various diseases, and the casting out of more demons in verses 40 to 41. The people of Capernaum were so impressed with Jesus' teaching and healing that they did not want him to leave, verses 42 to 43. But he moved on from there, so that his ministry could serve as many people as possible in Galilee, Judea, and the surrounding regions. This special authority, which Jesus had in his teaching, was given to his 12 apostles, and later to St. Paul by a special commission. After the Last Supper, Jesus prayed about his apostles to his Father. "I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them." John 17, verse 8. In the same evening, Jesus told the apostles, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." John 14, 25 to 26. It is for these reasons that we believe that the New Testament scriptures, which were written by the apostles and by St. Paul, have the same authority as Jesus' own words, as well as the authority of the Holy Spirit who inspired them. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17, St. Paul writes, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." This speaks of the canonical books of both the Old and the New Testaments. Now you need to know that some Christian churches in the United States and in Europe do not accept the authority of Jesus' words or the canonical scriptures. These are some of the old liberal Protestant mainline churches that may use the Bible in worship and teaching, but their pastors do not feel constrained by Jesus' authority to adhere to his doctrine and commands, which he gave directly and which he also gave indirectly through his apostles. The most important words that Jesus ever spoke, and which he speaks to you today, are the words of the jury, not guilty. When we say that your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake, that is what we mean. You are not guilty. Through the payment of your sins on the cross and by the substitution of his perfect righteousness for your imperfect thoughts, words, and deeds, Jesus has the full authority as the divine judge to say to you, "Not guilty. Your sins are forgiven." If you believe in Jesus and in his authority, on the day of judgment, Jesus the judge will look you in the eye with all the authority and majesty of his divine office, and he will say to you, "Not guilty. You are freed from sin, hell, death, and Satan. Enter into the eternal kingdom prepared by my Father for those who believe in me and my words." Even so, may you all look forward to that day when we will see our judge, and he will say to each one of us, "Not guilty." In Jesus' name, amen.